The word of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. It is page 317 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise of God. Amen. In the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, there is the following story. A 12-year-old boy would go fishing with his dad to an island in the middle of a lake in New Hampshire. In order to protect trout, the state government set aside dates and permitted people to fish only during the designated season. One day, before the trout fishing season began, the boy and his dad began fishing from early evening. They hooked the worm and caught small freshwater fish. When they threw the fishing line on the water reflected the light of the setting sun and waves of all colors spread on the surface of the water. And finally, when the moon came up, the water rings became silvery. As the night deepened, suddenly the fishing rod became very bent, and the boy instantly realized that a big fish had become caught. As the boy struggled to bring up such a large fish by himself, the father stood by watching him proudly. And finally, the boy at last succeeded in getting the fish, which had spent his strength, out of water. It was the biggest fish he had seen, but it was a trout. The boy and his father watched a fish which was flapping around on the floor under the moonlight. The father lit a match to look at his wristwatch. It was 10 p.m. There were still 2 hours remaining before the trout fishing could begin. The father took a glance at the fish and looked at the sun. The father said, "You have to let the fish go back into the water." "Dad," the boy cried out. The father shook his head and said, We can catch it again after 2 hours." The boy burst into tears. "I'll never be able to catch a trout this big." The boy looked around the lake. No fishermen or fishing boats were to be seen in the moonlight, and the boy looked at his father's face again. But even though no one had seen them catch the fish, and they would not know the time in which they had caught the fish, he realized that a decision had already been made from the certain tone of his father's voice. The boy sighed, took out the hook from the great big trout's mouth, and let it go back into the water. The trout hurriedly disappeared in the water. The boy thought to himself, he would never, ever catch such a big fish ever again. This was 30 years ago. The boy became a successful architect in New York City. The fishing ground in the island in the middle of the lake is still there, and he would take his son and daughter to fish to that place. Although he has never caught a fish, that he returned to the water long time ago in the middle of the dark night. Each time he came to an ethical dilemma, he thought of that fish. The happening with the trout became a principle by which he chose what is right over a prophet called Trout. On that day, the boy probably thought that it was a waste to let the trout go and that his father was mean and silly. If they had brought the trout home that day, the family would have had a wonderful meal. But that would have been the end. But because on that day he let the trout go, he was able to learn a life lesson which was incomparable. A family in which there is a parent who teaches the principle greater than a benefit in front of one's eyes, and a child who obeys the teaching of his father rather than grasping onto his desires, is probably a very happy one. Today's text explains in detail the content of Apostle Paul's prayer for the Philippi church. Paul's prayer teaches us about the right principles over a benefit that is in front of our eyes. The relationship between Apostle Paul and Church of Philippi is very beautiful. Apostle Paul had come to Philippi as a result of God's mysterious work, and the start of the Philippi church was even more mysterious work of God. Philippi church, which was well aware of such facts, had affection for Apostle Paul, which could not be compared with that of other churches. Because Apostle Paul's prayer is for a church that he thought of so preciously, this prayer is also truly precious to us, because we all have people who are precious to us. These precious people could be our families, or like the Church of Philippi and Apostle Paul, they could be people who deliver and receive the gospel. At our church, there are persons who were in elementary school, junior high, and high school, college students, 10 years ago when I started my ministry, but who are now in their 20s and 30s. Each time I see them, I always think how grateful I am. The thought that comes into my mind is how grateful I am, because the growth in their faith feels to me like a certificate which says that my work has not been in vain. Who do you feel are really precious to you, like the Church of Philippi, to Apostle Paul, and what do you want to pray for them? This is how Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippi church. Verse 9 testifies as follows, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Apostle Paul, in praying for the Church of Philippi, prayed before all else that their love may abound more and more. The Church of Philippi was filled with love more so than the other churches. Because of this, they had not only sent Apostle Paul, who was in prison, money, but also Epaphroditus to look after him while he was in prison, although none of the other churches took any action. And this probably moved Apostle Paul a great deal. The road that Apostle Paul traveled was a very lonely one. Unlike other apostles, Paul, who had never met the Lord during the public life of Jesus, became an apostle by meeting the resurrected Lord. So he became an apostate to the Jews and was the first on the list for assassination. And to Christians, he became a number one person to be wary of because of his past. All other apostles, each place they went, delivered the gospel and were given a place to sleep and food from those to whom they preached the gospel, and even received money for travel to the next destination. In case of Apostle Peter, he even traveled with his wife. But Apostle Paul had to take care of everything on his own. And so he worked night and day while he delivered the gospel. Only a very few appreciated Apostle Paul and his works. And those who were foremost in appreciating him and respected his work were the believers of Philippi Church. Now, no one came to see Apostle Paul, who was locked away in Roman prison. Even the Church of Antioch, which had sent him on the mission, avoided him. But Philippi Church, which had sent him clothes and food, and Epaphroditus to take care of him while he was imprisoned, was probably like a comfort sent by God to Paul, which showed that his works were not in vain. In praying for such church, Paul prays that their love would abound more and more. The focus is not on love, but on more and more. Like the old saying, 주가마편, meaning whip is added to a running horse, the prayer is asking for more love, not because there was lack of love in Philippi Church, but because there was a lot. A lot of people think that love is the crystallization of emotions, but that is not all that love is. Love, which is an emotion, does not last very long. According to a recent newspaper article, the effective period of emotion of love is 900 days. The more the time passes, the anticipation of meeting and the sadness of parting wear away. But we know this from our experience, if it weren't for this article. If a person does not want to part with her husband when he goes to work in the morning, or he goes over the speed limit because his heart beats in anticipation of seeing his wife at home after work, even after 10, 20 years of being married, this person probably needs to go to a hospital. Therefore, there are more aspects of will rather than emotions in love. What love is like is well expressed in a letter which Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth. Chapter 13, verses 4 to 7 of 1 Corinthians testify as follows. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The characteristics of love which is mentioned first is patience. To be patient means to wait. Therefore, in verse 7, it also says that love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. There is no case where a baby starts to walk right away from birth. In order for the baby to walk after birth, it takes a minimum 1 year, and this is possible only after numerous falls and hurts. If there are parents who want the baby to walk as soon as he or she is born, they are either not normal or thinks of the baby as a calf. The reason that parents wait for the children is out of their love for them. To become a married couple means that a man and a woman who are strangers to each other and who are walking a separate path come to walk the same road of life. That a husband and a wife love each other means that they wait well for the other, not out of sense of duty because they have to, but in believing that God will craft my partner in a new way. This is the same in loving other people. To love them means that in knowing that God will perfect them to the day of Jesus Christ, to wait for them, although they still have rooms for growth. And to love means to be merciful. In other words, to be kind. Love maintains best manners for the other. Although the good points of a person close to you is easy to see, rather than someone who is far away, it is even easier to see their faults. In order to maintain a good relationship with others for a long time, it is important to keep one's manners. Keeping one's best manners does not mean using honorific language all the time and keeping the protocols. It means to respect the other as a person. The person who is closest to you in the world is your spouse. So, therefore, a lot of people know their shortcomings very well, and therefore, a lot of couples act in a very rude way to their spouses, but that is not love. To love means to observe one's manners, and therefore, the person to whom you should be the most careful to keep your manners is your spouse. And to love means never to think of others in relative terms, but in absolute terms. Jealousy, showing off, arrogance, and acting rudely, self-seeking, all these things stem from the mentality which think in relative terms. These days, words like 엄친아, meaning my mother's friend's son, or 엄친딸, meaning my mother's friend's daughter, which not even come out in dictionary, are very popular. And these words refer to persons who are smart, good-looking, or pretty, great personality, have a great job, and have great parents so that they appear to be perfect. To ask a child who brings home a report card, so how did your friend do, is to make the child really upset. It is not to love the child. Comparing one's child to an 엄친아 or 엄친딸 who does not even exist in reality is not really loving the child. Actually, the word 엄친 in our language was originally used to refer to one's own father. So therefore, the word 엄친아 or 엄친딸 should really be used to refer to one's children. So in this way, love is not only a crystallization of emotions, but a result of one's will. Therefore, in today's text, Apostle Paul does not say only that he prays for them to abound in love in more and more. Let me read verse 9 again. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He is praying that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. If knowledge is not added to love, then it is easy for love to become blind. And if there is no insight to love, then it is easy for love to become narrow-minded and nearsighted. The Greek word epignosis, which means knowledge, means knowledge about God, the comprehension about gospel and truth, and proper understanding of the world. And the word connotes practical as well as perfect knowledge. The importance of knowledge in faith life, let alone living in the world, cannot be emphasized enough. On a TV show, a popular star revealed that he learned how to read Korean when he was in fourth grade. Because his parents were so busy in making a living, they didn't have time to see whether their son could read. He came to church because of a friend, and after the service, it became a time for Bible study. The students took turns to read the Bible, but he could not read. And he was embarrassed even more because a very pretty girl was sitting next to him. So he worked hard on his own to learn Korean and could read at last. After that, he said, the world totally looked different. The world looks different even by learning to read the Korean language that one did not know before. And no matter what the sports, if one does not know how to do it, then it is not fun, and one only pays attention to who wins and who loses. But if you come to know how to play the sports, then you become interested in everything about it, not only the result. You're surprised at how a golfer hits the drive by swinging his club and become amazed at his putting. And your eyes open wide and seeing how a tennis player does her receives and hits the ball back in a volley. And you notice where she stands as she serves and how high the ball is raised and how her feet are positioned. So in this way, whatever it is, whatever area it is, having knowledge about it makes such big difference. If this is true for worldly things, then how much more so would it be for spiritual things? The topic in which we Christians must have the most proper knowledge is about God. Prophet Hosea, in describing the reality of Israel, which claimed to serve God, and how the power of the nation is deteriorating, even though he claimed to live a life of worship of God, who is the King of Kings, says the following. It is chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 6 of Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in this land. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. In Israel, which supposedly serve God, there is no truth, no love, and no knowledge of God. The ignorance of God utterly destroys the nation, and God says that he will also ignore them. And so Prophet Hosea declares God's heart as follows. It's chapter 6, verse 6 of Hosea. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. The people of Israel knew that sacrifice, which is worship in our days, was very important. So they offered many different kinds of sacrifice, but that was all. They did not try to know why God wanted them to offer such different kinds of sacrifices and who this God who spoke to them in such a way was. True faith is to open one's eyes towards God and thereby fulfilling what he wants through one's life. This is true also in the New Testament. Jesus said the following. It is in chapter 17, verse 3 of the book of John. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It says that to know God and Jesus Christ itself is the eternal life. Because God is eternal. Do you know Park Tae-hwan or Kim Yoon-na? Oh, he's a swimmer who won gold medal in 400 meters free-form swimming in 2008 Beijing Olympics. And she is a figure skating champion of 2010 Tokyo Winter Olympics. We do not say that we know these people in knowing these information. What the Bible calls knowledge is knowing the depth of the heart of the person, what he or she is like, his or her personality. In other words, to say no means the state of having a personal relationship with that person. Apostle Paul, in praying for the Philippi church, that their love may abound more and more, says that insight must be added to that love along with knowledge. The Greek word aisthesis, which means insight, is related to senses. Therefore, the word is translated insight or discernment. It refers to the capacity of a person to apply one's knowledge to worldly and spiritual events and to make appropriate judgments in situations where it's difficult to make a decision. If knowledge is theoretical, then we could say that insight is practical. Among people, there are those who learn through books and those who learn by experiences. A person who is used to learning by books would buy books on topics that he wants to learn about or go to a class that could teach him what are in the books in more depth. On the other hand, those who are used to learning by experience would continue to practice more and more, keeping in mind the saying, practice makes perfect. In the West, when smart people are divided into two groups, the persons who have become smart through learning are called book smart. These are people who have literally become smart through books. They have read a great deal, graduated from good schools, and who get excellent grades on each test that they take. On the other hand, the persons who have become smart on the street, in other words, through experience, are called street smart. They did not read many books, did not graduate from good schools, but they have accumulated know-how by going through all kinds of experiences in their area of work. In our society, we're used to treating book-smart people as capable people, so no efforts are spared to go to reputable universities, and even if one were not successful in going to one of those, then one tries to fulfill that dream through one's children. It is very common to make a judgment on a person's character by the school that a person went. But in order for our society to develop more and to become healthier, it is necessary to acknowledge smart people as well, because these are the people who actually execute and carry out and makes real what the book smart people think about. Therefore, book smart and street smart are not in opposition to one another, but they are mutually enhancing. If there is knowledge in being book smart, there is insight to being street smart. But it is said that combining the person who combines these two desirable capacities is called someone who is deep smart. For deep smart people, there is a very high level of strength, inner strength, and insight, which is able to keep the balance by going beyond mere technical skills, but looking at the whole picture. In Paul's prayer for the Philippi church, if knowledge stands for book spirituality gained through the words of God, then insight stands for street spirituality that is gained through experience. Paul is praying with his heart that the church of Philippi will come to have deep spirituality, which combines the two. What prayer do you wish to pray for your children and your family, for whom you would not spare anything? And what prayer do you want to pray for people whom God has sent to you? And what prayer do you wish to pray for yourself? Do you not want to pray as follows? And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you have reminded us what the content of our prayer should be like through today's text. And we question whether our prayers are for making us look good in the eyes of the world, or for things that will not have any meaning or value after a while. And we question whether we are even not praying at all, or are not diligent in praying for even those things. We pray that you will open our eyes and our hearts so that our prayers for ourselves and our children will not stop at catching more trout, but for higher and more rightful values. It is our prayer that love will abound more and more in our lives, in our faith, by knowledge and insight. May our children and our families become this way, and all of the members of our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church as well. And so may we become the pathway of God's love in this world, which is ever cold from lack of love, and which is full of lamentation because of absence of love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.